It's good to see everybody out this morning. Louise and Doris and Becky and Angie, they went to Mississippi for a few days and going to leave Doris down there for a couple or 3 weeks so that she can visit family and see a new great-grandbaby. They plan on being back on this coming Tuesday. Belinda and Nelva, Brazil, I'll say, maiden names, they asked that I thank everyone for your prayers for Ray and prayers for the family, that's been much appreciated by all of them. And as was noted in the announcements, the funeral's going to be Tuesday and visitation Monday night. And again, we're going to have lunch here, so if you can bring food, please have that here on Tuesday morning by about 11:30. Of course, this is the time change. There's a movie, The Longest Day. That's what they called D-Day, Normandy, The Longest Day. This may rival it before it's all over with, you know. It may have been the shortest night that there was. Somebody said, I'm going to need to hit the pulpit a few times up here this morning, you know. And maybe that's so. I read of a preacher who was in the middle of a sermon when he saw a little boy approaching the pulpit, and he was kind of distressed at first, but he leaned toward the little boy when the boy got to the front, and he said, son, what's going on? And the little boy said in a whisper that could be heard for the first five rows, are you about finished? Well, when I get through with these lessons on love, you'll probably be thinking the same thing. I've preached a couple of lessons thus far on love. On the first lesson, I talked about Jesus' talking of the great commandment, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. And then last week, the second aspect of that, where he said, love your neighbor as yourself. But my application to that lesson was to emphasize loving the brotherhood, loving members of the church, loving your church family. And my emphasis of that lesson was from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where love is talked about as being the most excellent way. This morning I want to preach another lesson about loving each other, and the lesson is going to be taken from 1 John, in particular 1 John chapter 4, with also readings from 1 John 3. There's a couple of reasons for that, and in a sense. One has to do with the transformation of the author of 1 John. John the Apostle wrote five books of the New Testament, the Gospel of John, of course, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then Revelation. In 1 John, he uses the word love either as a noun or a verb some 45 times. And John came to be known as the Apostle of Love. Now, you wouldn't have thought that at one particular time in his life. One time, Jesus called John, his brother James, the sons of thunder, probably describing the personality that they shared at that time. On another occasion, these disciples, along with their mother, they came to Jesus asking for a request. They said, in their understanding of the kingdom, that when you come in your kingdom, let us sit on your right and on your left. They wanted to have the preeminence among the other apostles. And perhaps the greatest example of John's past had to do with a Samaritan village that rejected Jesus. Luke chapter 9 verse 54 says, when the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven that we might destroy them? That was the John of old, but through the mighty power of Christ, John was transformed. In a sermon many years ago, Brother Hugo McCord, he quoted from an ancient tradition of the early church at Ephesus, where John spent a lot of his time. The tradition said that when John was too old to preach anymore, sitting before the church in Ephesus, he would repeat over and over again, my little children love one another, my little children love one another, my little children love one another. The little book of 1 John is also interesting because we think 1 Corinthians 13, we think of it as being the love chapter of the Bible. Actually, 1 John chapter 4 could make its own arguments for that chapter as well. Love is mentioned some 25 times in that little chapter. In his letters, John had much to say about error that was becoming pervasive in the early church. There were some of those who were denying the humanity of Jesus. Jesus. They couldn't understand how divinity could come in the flesh, and so they were denying that. There were those who were teaching that sins of the body didn't really involve sins of the soul, and so you could do anything that you wanted to do with the body, and it wouldn't have any effect in your relationship to God. There were also those who denied the divinity of Christ. They could believe in a fleshly Jesus, but not a divine Jesus. And then there were those who were separatists, who wanted to try and live their lives so separated from the world, trying to be good, that they became good for nothing. And so John warned in his letters. He had this mixture of warning against error that was becoming more pervasive, and warning about false teaching. But in the midst of all of that, he also speaks a great deal about love, about loving God, about keeping God's commandments. And he wrote about loving each other. John wanted to instill love in the readers of his letter, and that includes you and me. It is given by inspiration to us just as surely as it was to the first ones who read it in the first century. John sums up the writing of his letter by saying, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." That eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. And to know Jesus Christ is to know love for each other. Well, in chapter 3 of 1 John, we have a lot of verses about love, and I'll include, as I said, some of those in the lesson. There's a little interlude at the first part of chapter 4 where John talks about false prophets that have gone out into the world. And so he says, "Brethren, you test the spirits. You try them to see if their teaching really is from God." Probably in the early church, there were some who possessed a miraculous gift to be able to test whether a teaching was from God or not. It may have been that some of them, familiar with the Old Testament, they would have been like the Bereans, whom it says were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they studied the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul spoke was true or not. Acts 17 verse 11. For certain today, our method of teaching, testing teaching, is by the word of God. And we always have the responsibility to do that. John, after talking about that, he then turns his attention back to love again. The word that is used for love throughout John is the word agape. And I've talked with you about that before, those different Greek words. But this one that he uses throughout the book, it is the self-willed, self-giving type of love. It is not without feelings, but it is not based on emotion. It is based upon the will. One writer has called it active goodwill. That's what he's talking about, that you have a place, a part to play in loving others. You have to determine, make that commitment that that's what you're going to do. Well, let's notice some reasons why we should love each other. John emphasizes we should love each other because of God's love for us. Look again at those verses, that first part that Mike read earlier. John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Later in that chapter at verse 19, he says, "We love because he first loved us." Our primary motivation for loving one another is to be like God. God is love, and God manifests love. And so that's what we're to do as well. If someone was defining your nature, my nature, would they define us as a person of love? Well, our primary motivation is to love as God loves. What are some of the characteristics of God's love? Well, one key characteristic is that God showed his love for us. He didn't just send a card. He didn't write a note. But rather, he expressed his love for us by what he did. Jesus came. Jesus gave himself for our sins. And so John admonished us to act in the same way. Notice chapter 3, verses verses 17 and 18. He said, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Now, I don't think as I read that John is telling Christians, telling us not to express love for each other. But he is telling us, I think, that saying, I love you, doesn't define what love is. Now, I was brought up in a home, and probably many of you who were older the same way, I was brought up in a home where affection was not something that was spoken. I have my own take on that. My mother and father were married in 1932. Our area was in the great throes of the Depression during that period of time. Times were very hard. They had times very hard. And I think to some degree there was a sense by some that you couldn't be soft on your children, that you had to harden them because you wasn't going to survive if you didn't do that. I'm not suggesting that is the right way. I'm just suggesting that's my take on that. What I did see was my mother and father getting up at 4:30 a.m., usually milking a few head of cows by hand, doing other chores, and then off to work all day, and then back home to do more chores, and most times going to bed before 8 o'clock at night because they were completely exhausted. They were striving to make a better life for their family, and it was a means of saying, I love you, without words. It was all action. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I think you should tell your children that you love them over and over again. It's probably been hard for me to verbally express love for my own children because that's not the way that I was raised. And so I think it is important that you express that and that you tell them that. But more important than the expression of love, and I think that's what John is saying, more important than the expressing of words is action. He says, love in action, love in deed, and in truth. And that's how we as Christians are to love each other. I read a story of a young woman who found fault with everything about the church. She resented her parents for, in her words, forcing her to attend church and Bible classes. She would sit in her class and she would fold her arms and she would slump in her folding chair and sit at the back of the class. She wouldn't participate in anything that was going on because that's the last place that she wanted to be. One night she came home to find her parents huddled in the driveway in their bathrobes and their home was engulfed in flames. They watched all of their worldly possessions consumed in flames. It was a tragedy, of course, that would stay with her from then on. A short time after the fire, though, something happened that took her by surprise. Some of the girls from her Bible class came to visit her, and they handed her an envelope and was told it was from the class. And that envelope was filled with money. The girls had taken up a collection for her. And this young woman was so overwhelmed by the love and the affection that was shown her that day, she said this. She said, I received a lot more than money that day. I received unconditional love and a fresh realization of what it means to belong to the church. Haven't we all probably done that at one time in our life or another? I know for myself, all through the years, I've been on the receiving end of so many wonderful things. Actions that speak louder than words. Actually, I had down a couple of illustrations. One was to refer to a person in particular that had shown me what it is to love indeed. And then I thought about that, and I thought I would be standing here, and I would be looking out at you, and I would see all of those others that had done the very same thing to me, so I wanted to be careful. I want to point this out to Nancy as I'm saying that. I put Joey Reed, cousin of Rick Reed. Nancy met me out in the hall and said, there's a lot more cousins than Rick Reed. There's me and Wanda and Connie and Mike. Now, I'm saying that for my illustration, too. I thought about that, and I thought, no, if I start naming someone, I'll look over here, and I'll look here, and I'll look here and here, and I've been the recipient, oh, blessed, over and over and over again by this congregation. And I hope that's a story that you can tell, too, that not only have you been a giver, but you've also been a receiver. God's love was shown in the person of Jesus Christ. Our love is shown for our brethren, not just in words. Say it often. I'm not suggesting that. Say it often. Say it well. But remember, it's actually shown in the deeds that we do. John also tells us what the extent of our love for each other to be. This is kind of shocking, isn't it? Look at verse 16 of chapter 3. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. In the first century, that was a reality for many Christians. Persecution was rampant. And I'm sure there were many times probably where Christians were confronted with supposed to disclose another Christian. Do you know where the Christians are meeting? Do you know who another Christian is? Something at the very threat of death itself. And so it was very real to them when John writes and says, it's the kind of love that will lay down your life for your brother. John says that's the example, the extent of our love. We're to have that kind of love, that kind of devotion. Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to be willing to lay down our life for each other. A third characteristic of God's love was that it was shown to us when we were not deserving of it. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, the NIV has atoning sacrifice. The King James uses the word propitiation, but propitiation, that's not an everyday word for me and you, but it does mean to appease. And it originally referred to the efforts that pagans made, what they thought they had to do, whether cutting themselves or whatever, to appease the gods that they served. They wanted to appease the wrath of their gods. Well, it isn't used in that sense in the Bible, because the Bible teaches that there is nothing you, there is nothing I can do to appease the wrath of God. God took the initiative in this. Jesus became the punishment, the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our salvation does rest on our response to what Christ did at the cross, but what he did at the cross is what makes salvation a reality. He is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. Now, all of that says that God loves the unlovable. He didn't say get everything straightened out and then Jesus will come into the world. Not at all. And if we're to be like God, then we must do the same. I read a story about a man named Ron Delbain. When he was growing up, he said his mother had a thing about cleanliness. From an early age, Ron was taught that when he would go through a door that opened the other way, he was to push with his fist. If there was a door handle on it, he was supposed to open it with his little finger. And he said if he did as his mother instructed, he would not get germs on his hands. And he never forgot his mother's teaching. At age 48, he said, I probably had the strongest little finger in all of the world. One day, Ron was serving a hot meal in a soup kitchen, and they were serving chili and two pieces of buttered bread on that particular day. And a man came through the line who looked even more scruffy than the others, and Ron was just overwhelmed, he said, by the smell. And like the pull of a magnet, he recalls, my gaze went to the dirt and dried blood on his hands. And before he realized what was happening, the man clasped Ron's hand, he said, in both of his. Brother, he said, Scruffy, I love you. Thanks for being here. I'm glad you came, Ron replied after swallowing hard. And he said he tried to smile as the man shuffled on to one of the tables with his meal. The next man stepped up, and as Ron handed him a bowl of chili, a little bit of chili spilled on Ron's hand, and without thinking, he licked it off. And then it hit him. That was the hand the other man had just clasped. and Ron momentarily froze, and he repelled to think that he had licked something that that smelly, dirty man had just touched. It was later, he said, though, that he had a revelation. He said, the light of awareness changed my vision, and my heart warmed with new understanding. No longer was Jesus only the handsome man I had pictured in my mind and seen in paintings. He continued, now he had a scarred, stubbled face and fingers stained yellow. He was dirty, he smelled bad, and he wore cast-off clothes. I had just served him chili and bread. God extends that kind of love to you and me, undeserving love, and we must be willing to extend that to our brothers. When you do it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, Jesus says, then you have done it unto me. Well, another thought on love is that love for our brethren, it's not an option, but it is a necessity. Now, these don't need lots of explanation. Look at those verses that are there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is his command to believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded us. 1 John 4:21, and he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Coy Roper said, love for one another is a commandment. If you're inclined to ask, how can I love old brother criticizer? Here is the answer. You must find a way to love him. Love is not just something you can do. Love is something that you must do. Last thought this morning is that we love others because we love God. Notice 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Our first reaction to God's love is that we're to love him in return. That's just the natural thing. That should be our first reaction. Our second reaction, though, is to love each other. When God's love penetrates our heart, it affects our very being, and we cannot help but love. Someone said one of the finest things we can do for God is to love one of his children. And you know, I thought about that. I thought about how much that I appreciate things that are done for me. I appreciate that greatly. But when I see someone do something for one of my children, that makes me feel even better. I even get more good out of that. Do you think maybe that our Heavenly Father feels the same way? When we love our brothers and sisters, we're showing honor and glory and love for him. Now, I've just touched the hem of the garment out of 1 John, but I've talked about loving one another because God loves us, because it is a command of God, and we love each other because we love God. This morning, if you need to come to be baptized for the remission of your sins or to be restored as an erring child of God, it's a very practical test of your love for God. 1 John 5, verse 3 says, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. If you need to respond, show your love for God right now by coming to him as we stand and as we sing.